We continue our learning Leila Nishmas Tavi B'Menachem Rishon and Hamyakam Ibn Chosaleya. We are in Gittin, Perek Dalin, Mishnah Vav. Hamocher Avdo Lugoy O Luchutz La'aretz, a person who sells his Evid Kanani to a non-Jew, a non-Jewish master, or he sells him even to a Jewish master in Chutz La'aretz, Yatza Ben Chorin, that Evid Kanani goes free. So let's go through these two cases. Mocher Avdo Lugoy, the halacha is that a person is not permitted to sell his Evid Kanani to a non-Jew, because an Evid Kanani is chayiv in mitzvos like a woman. And now you sell him to a non-Jew, he's not going to be able to fulfill those mitzvos. And the case of the Mishnah here is where now this Eved either escaped from the Goy, from the master who was non-Jewish, or he was redeemed by the original master. The halacha is Yatza ben Chorin, he goes free. And we'll see why that is. And the other case is where he sells him L'chutz La'aretz. A Jew living in Eretz Yisrael sold his Eved Kanani to another Jew, let's say in Chutz La'aretz. That's an Issur D'Rabbanan because he won't be able to fulfill many of the mitzvos that he was fulfilling when he lived in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvos hatulos baretz, mitzvos that apply only in Eretz Yisrael. So that he's not allowed to do. In all of these cases, Yatza ben Chorin, the Chachamim gave a knas, gave a fine, and said that the slave is automatically going to go free. Now, if you sold to a non-Jew and he escaped or was redeemed, so it's the original master who has to write him a get shichur, the shtar of emancipation. If he was sold to a Jew living outside Eretz Yisrael, it's the second master who has to write the get shichur for him, and he can't ask the seller, the Jew from Eretz Yisrael, to pay him. Now I have to set the Eved free. I paid you a lot of money for the Eved. He can't. Why? So that's part of the knas. You say, but they both should be fined in that case. After all, the seller violated this issur of selling an Eved Kanani to Chutz La'aretz, and the buyer violated the issur as well. They both did. So why is the one with the fine with the knas? Because the Davar HaAsur, the slave, which was transferred to Eretz Yisrael, is in his possession. Then the Mishnah says, Ein podin es hashvuyim yoser al kidei demehen mipnei tikon ha'ola. So if you have people who are Jews who are taken captive, you're not allowed to redeem them more than their value. And the question is what their value is. Is that based on the slave's market value, or is it based on maybe his wealth or what his chashivas in the community? But either way, whatever kidei demayan is, you're not permitted to redeem shvuyim captives for an exorbitant price, for these ransom prices that are way more than their value. And that would be true even if the family of the captive is wealthy, they're not allowed to do so. Why? Because this is b'mnei tikkun olam, for the general good. What is that? Because now the people who abducted these people are going to be encouraged to take other captives as well and charge a lot of money for their ransom. There are exceptions, a Talmud Chacham, for example, or even a young person who we see is very promising to become a Talmud Chacham. There is no limit on that ransom. A husband is able to redeem his wife for an exorbitant price because ishto kugufo, so there are no limits on that. And in a time of war, let's say when non-Jews are taking Jews, unfortunately, captive very freely, then there's no obligation to refrain from these paying a lot of money to ransom them because it's not going to help anyway. They're not going to be deterred to capture more. And therefore, you can pay whatever you need and whatever efforts that are needed to ransom them. Then the Mishnah says, "Ve'ein mavrichin es hashvuyim ibnei tikkun ha'olam." Mavrichin means to help them escape. So you're not permitted to help the captives escape also because of tikkun ha'olam. What are we afraid of? So we're afraid that they're going to take out their frustration, their anger on the other captives that are there. And even if you freed everybody, all of the captives, nonetheless, it could be they'll abduct more and mistreat them even more because the ones that were freed. So that's Ein Mavrichin Es Hashvuyim, also Bnei Tikkun Olam. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer Bnei Takanas Hashvuyim. He only agrees partially. He says, because this is not because of Tikkun Olam, and which applies both to when there are captives that are there, still there, that may be mistreated more harshly, but as well as if there are none, and nonetheless they may abduct more. He holds it's only Takanas Hashvuyim, only when there are other captives in the hands of these people, of the abductors, do we say that you're not allowed to help some of them escape, but to refrain from helping them escape because maybe something in the future, people will be taken captive, they'll be treated harshly. That, says Rav Shimon Gamliel, is not necessary. There's no issur for that. Ve'ein lokchim svarim tefillin u'mezuzos min hagoyim yoser akei demeyim v'nei tikkun olam. Another halacha for the welfare of the world, we're not permitted to buy sifrei Torah Torah, tefillin, and mezuzos from non-Jews more than their regular value. Why? Tikkun olam. What's going to happen? The non-Jews are going to begin to steal these items because to sell them for an exorbitant price. So to discourage non-Jews from doing so you can't pay a lot of money for sfrum to a mezuzos when you purchase them from non-Jews. Perek Dal and Mishnah Zayin. Hamotzi is ishto mishum shemra lo yachzir. We have a case, a woman, there's a rumor that she committed adultery and are therefore her husband divorces her. And there's some discussion whether or not he specifies that he's divorcing her because of this shemra, or he doesn't say anything at all. Some discussion in the Gemara about that. But sounds like for the Mishnah is he's motzis ishtol mishum shemra. He's thinking that. That's why he's doing so. Maybe he said it explicitly. Maybe he did not. Either it says the Mishnah lo yachzir, which means, let's say the rumor is proven that it's not true. He can't take her back. Why? The Chachamim were afraid. Let's say she would now remarry after this divorce, and she would marry another man and have children. The first of them may say, you know what? Really, she's innocent. I never would have divorced under those circumstances. And now, would that really be true? Would we that uproot everything? So, according to some, maybe. According to others, no. Maybe it wouldn't affect the divorce because once again, it goes back to the issue of whether he specified or not. You know, maybe if he never said when he divorced her, you know why I'm divorcing her is for the following reason, because I think she committed adultery, and that now would uproot the entire divorce, and now she will have had an affair with someone, and these kids are mamzerim. So there's some discussion about that. But let's assume he didn't say anything, and let's assume, therefore, that officially she is divorced. Regretting that he divorced her because he finds out she's innocent, she never had an affair, she never committed adultery, that's not going to release the divorce. She's really divorced. Nonetheless, even though the get is valid, it could be that people are going to talk. People will question the legitimacy of the second marriage and the children that come from that marriage because of the fact that she's now innocent and the husband, and people spoke, there's a rumor about her, and the husband divorced her, and now we see that she's innocent. Maybe people think, maybe she's not really halakhically divorced. So therefore, the Chachamim said, I'll tell you what. The husband cannot take her back. That's what the Mishnah means. Hamotzi asishtu mishum shem ra. If that's the reason, that's why he divorces her, because of this rumor, he's not allowed to take her back. So now he's never allowed to remarry her because we don't want people to question, that maybe the divorce is not a good divorce. Now he knows. For he's forewarned. He divorced her right now. He's never taking her back. And that's the way it is. And therefore, he'll never say, I regret. It's not going to matter because there's a halacha that you cannot take her back. What about Mishum Neder? Let's say the husband divorced her because she made a Neder and he said, I don't want to marry to a woman who makes Nedarim. I don't like women who make Nedarim. So says the Mishnah also, lo yachzir, he cannot take her back. And that would be true even if the Neder is nullified. Let's say she did Hataras Nedarim by a Beis Din. He's not allowed to remarry her. Why? In order to prevent any claim that, once again, that he was, had I known that she would have gone to a Beis Din to have to do Hataras Nedarim, I never would have divorced her. So this way, people would question whether or not he's really divorced or not, even though halachically is, we don't want people to talk. So this way he knows, if you divorce your wife and you say, she's taking Nedarim, that's why I'm divorcing her, that's it. So you are just realize that you're not taking her back. And even here, there's some discussion whether or not did he really specify I'm doing this because of the neder, or he didn't specify, and it maybe makes a difference if he said that or not. Says the Mishnah then, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol neder sheyadu bo rabim lo yachzir, v'shelo yadu bo rabim yachzir. So Rabbi Yehuda says it's not always true. Not all nedarim do we say he can't take her back. Where do we say he can't take her back? If it's a neder sheyadu bo rabim, it's a neder that was known by the public, then he can't take her back. Why is that? So Rabbi Yehuda says, you know why he can't remarry her if he divorced her because of a neder? Is so that women aren't careless with taking nedarim. He says, but that's only true if the neder, let's say, is known by everybody. It's made publicly. So that is considered a careless type of neder. So that what's considered in public, is that 3 people, is that 10 people? That's a machlokas on Daf Mem Vav. But says Rabbi Yehuda, only a neder sheyada burabim can he not take her back? Because that the whole purpose of this takana of not taking her back is make sure women are not careless with taking nedarim. It's only considered careless when she's doing it in public. But v'shelo yadu bo rabin, then yachsi, divorced his wife for making neder that was said privately, he's allowed to remarry her, because taking a neder in private is not considered something careless that with the chachamim have to make some type of takana. Rabbi Meir Omer, a different qualification. Kol neder shetzorech chakiras chacham lo yachzir, v'she'eno tzorech chakiras chacham yachzir. Rabbi Meir says like this, you know when the chachamim have this takana that he can't take her back? That's a neder that needs a chakiras chacham, that needs to be nullified by a beis din, but not the husband. So we know that the husband, there are certain types of nedarim, we learn masechet nedarim, that a husband has the right to annul himself. Hafaras nedarim. That's where it's beino levena, something that relates to their relationship, or inu nefesh, where it's self-affliction, self-denial. So cases like a woman says she's not going to bathe, or she's not going to eat certain foods, certain fruits, so and the like. So that is where a husband can do hafaras nedarim. So Rabbi Meir comes to say like this, a neder that needs chakiras chacham, which means hataras nedarim by a beis din, that a husband can't annul himself, then lo yachzer. Then he's not permitted to take her back. So we're afraid the husband's going to say, "Oh, I didn't know that you could nullify hataras nedarim." So his husband's going to say, "Oh, had I known she could do hataras nedarim, go to a beis din and knock out, I never would have divorced her. That simple." So that's what Rabbi Meir says: a neder that needs a chakiras chacham, that needs to be do hataras nedarim through beis din that the husband can't do himself, then lo yachzer, then you can't take her back, because we're afraid he's really going to regret and say, "Oh, I never realized," and then it's going to people going to speak about the fact that it's not a valid get, not a valid divorce. We want to avoid that. Let the husband know, a neder that needs hataras nedarim. I'm telling you right now, when you divorce her, you're finished. You can't take her back. But v'she'eino tzorech chakiras chacham, something that does not need chakiras chacham, that is where he can do the hafaras nedarim himself. That's, so says Rabbi Meir, he could do hafaras nedarim himself. He can't come and claim, "Oh, had I known that I can do a null of the neder myself, I never would have divorced her." Come on, we know a husband knows that he's able to do hafaras nedarim. That's a basic halacha, says Rabbi Meir, that husbands know, and therefore that claim we never believe, and therefore if it's a she'eino tzorech chakiras chacham, something that would not be done by a beis din, but is a neder that relates to their relationship somehow, which he can annul himself, then he can take her back, because we're not afraid he's going to say, "Oh, had I known, I could annul it myself, I never would have divorced her." We wouldn't believe that anyway. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar disagrees with Rabbi Meir. It's actually almost the opposite. Lo asru zeh ela mipnei zeh. He says, I disagree. He says, the reason Rabbi Elazar holds that only a neder which the husband can annul himself is problematic. Why? Because he can claim, "Had I known I was able to do hafaras nedarim, I never would have divorced her." So it's just the opposite. Rabbi Elazar believes that the husband does not necessarily know about hafaras nedarim. But to claim that what? That a husband, "Had I known I could have done hataras nedarim," so that he never can claim. Why? Because hataras nedarim means you have to go to a beis din. Beis din means the woman's going to be embarrassed. It's humiliating to have to be brought to a beis din. We don't assume that a husband would have ever wanted to do hataras nedarim. So to claim, "Oh, I never would have done," she took a neder. And a neder is something that needs hataras nedarim. Husband to claim, "Oh, had I known I could have gone to bring her to a beis din and do hataras nedarim, I never would have divorced her." That's not true. We don't believe him because it's embarrassing for her and you never would have done that. But for the husband to claim, "Oh, had I known I could do hataras nedarim on this particular neder, I never would have divorced her." So that's problematic. That's what we're afraid of. And therefore, it's the nedarim that are beino levena that are more problematic, that are more problematic, where we speak of that. Nonetheless, Rabbi Elazar says, lo asru zeh ela mipnei zeh. What he meant was that, nonetheless, the Chachamim decreed that all types of nedarim are included in this, and he can't take her back either way, which means the Chachamim said the concern we really have is for the nedarim that relate to their relationship. Because there he can claim, I only divorced her because I thought there's nothing I could do. But now that you tell me I could do hafaras nedarim, I didn't know that. That we're afraid of. But the Chachamim came along and said, even though we're generally not afraid of the hataras nedarim claim, oh, had I known, I could have brought her to Beis Din. Come on, you never would have done that because you wouldn't want to embarrass her. Nonetheless, the Chachamim said, we make a gzera on the hataras nedarim types of nedarim because of the hafaras nedarim types of nedarim, and therefore they're all prohibited. In all of these cases, we would say, lo yachzir, he can't take her back for all types of nedarim. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, maisa b'tzidon be'echad she'amar le'ishto, case in Sidon, in Lebanon, where someone told to his wife, konam im einim b'garshich. Konam, it sounds like a neder, if I don't divorce you. V'gersha, and he divorced her. V'tir lo chachamim sheyachzi rena mipnei tikkun olam. And the chachamim permitted him to take her back because of tikkun olam. So what's happening here? So the Gemara says, there's a chisur mechasra. There's something missing here in the Mishnah. There's a qualification here of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, which is, b'me devar ha-mamurim, under what circumstances do we say that the husband should not take her back? That's kishenedra he. That's where the woman took a neder. Aval nadar hu. If the husband took a neder, he's going to divorce her, then he's allowed to take her back because we're not afraid that things are going to get messed up. We'll explain why in a moment. And therefore, the Mishnah gives you this story to support what happened. In fact, there's a story in Sidon where a person said to his wife, I take a konam, a vow, if I don't divorce you, which he said, let's say, ye astru alai kol pero shaba olam kakarban, all the fruit in the world should be us to me like a karban, if I don't divorce you. So that was the type of neder he took, which is basically forcing him to divorce her. Vigar Shah, and he did because of his neder, because he didn't want to ask her all fruit of the world. And the Chachamim said he could take her back because why? Because the whole halacha, because of neder, he can't take her back. That's because of tikkun olam. But when the husband was the one who took the neder, not the wife, we're not afraid. Why are we not afraid? Different explanations. But one of them is, it's not applicable in the case of his own neder because the halachos of the nullifying a husband's nedarim are simple, and people understand them. When it comes to the nedarim of a married woman, so now what types of nedarim are they? Are they inu nefesh, beno levena, a hafaras nedarim versus hataras nedarim? That's more confusing, and therefore the husband would be able to make this claim, oh, had I known such and such, I never would have divorced her. But about his nedarim, he can never claim I was not aware my neder could be nullified by a Beis Din. That's just not true. A husband obviously would know that.